You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm Joe Casey. You know, a traditional approach to planning for retirement starts with making sure you're getting your finances straight. But what if you flip the script and start instead with purpose? Our guest today thinks that's precisely the right approach. Casey Weed is a sought-after retirement planning professional, speaker, and CEO/chief visionary of the national financial firm Howard Bailey. He hosts the Retire With Purpose radio, TV show, and podcast, providing sound financial guidance to pre-retirees and retirees across the country. He's also a member of the Forbes Finance Council and is a certified financial planner, chartered life underwriter, retirement income certified professional, an investment advisor representative, and he holds licenses in many forms of insurance. Casey's not only passionate about guiding people toward a financially secure retirement, but he also zones in on what your golden years might look like. His purpose-based retirement philosophy begins with finding your why and building a plan to protect that. In Casey's words, the path to retirement is all about utilizing offensive strategies. But once you actually get there, the game switches to defending your purpose for retirement and, in turn, your life savings from the major risks it will face. Casey is a lifelong Midwest native and currently resides in Fort Wayne, Indiana, with his wife and two sons.
Casey, thanks so much for joining us.
Joe, it's awesome to be here. We were working on getting you onto our podcast for a couple of years, and now, hey, looks like I'm on yours.
Well, this is our first double Casey podcast of all time, so we're thrilled to have you here. So our listeners have just heard your bio, so they have the back of the baseball card, so to speak, but I'm sure they'd like to hear more about your story. Tell us more about what you do, and importantly, why you do what you do.
Yeah. Well, what we do is retirement planning, but who we are is elevating meaning and purpose in the families that we work with day in and day out. And that's not always who we were as a firm, as a financial planning firm. Originally, we were just that. We were a financial planning firm. We didn't lead with purpose. We didn't lead with meaning. And there was a time in my life where I really struggled with that myself, and we decided that we really needed to rework the way that we were helping people find financial independence. We needed to help them understand that it was more than just about money. You know, money should deliver meaning and purpose. It should elevate the meaning and purpose that you're experiencing in your own life. And if we're simply focusing on the money, like most financial advisors, if we're just focusing on getting you to retirement, getting you more money, getting you more income, it can really do a disservice for a family.
And in your book, Job Optional, you write about how much your family has influenced you. What did you learn from your grandparents?
Yeah, well, our firm is named Howard Bailey, and that is after my two grandparents. Howard Weed was my dad's dad, where we gained a lot of our financial philosophy and my foundation in the way that I look at money and just managing those finances. And then we've got Ralph Bailey, which is the other side of my family, someone who was in the education industry for his whole life, over 60 years. He was 90 years old when he got another job offer to be a superintendent for another three-year contract. And so he had a real passion for education, teaching others, and really uplifting the spirits of all of those that were around him. And so we've really combined those two philosophies out of the time that I spent with them as a child to impact the families that we're working with today. And as a child, my dad was an entrepreneur and worked very hard, and he was gone a lot, traveled a lot. My parents both enjoyed traveling. And then you might also say my dad was a bit of a workaholic. My mom wasn't too far off. She was a teacher as well. So she followed in her father's footsteps, Ralph Bailey's father's footsteps, her father's footsteps there. And she ended up becoming Indiana State Teacher of the Year. So she was really passionate about education. And my father was really passionate about working hard. And as a result, I ended up spending a lot of time with my grandparents. And I would say I learned a lot from them that has really allowed me to achieve what I have achieved in my life. And I want to pass that down to others.
You mentioned your father. What did you learn from his retirement experience?
Yeah, well, Dad retired early. So Dad retired at the age of 52. And he thought he'd play golf every day, all day. And we were both very passionate about golf. You know, during that period of his life, we would wake up early. I worked at the golf course. So I would get at the golf course at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning because these guys would be the first ones to tee off. I'd get everything set up for them. Dad would get there. He'd go out, play 18 holes. I'd get done with my shift. We'd go out and play 18 again. Then we'd practice and hit balls. And he would play golf almost all day, every day. And he thought that was his purpose. That was his passion. And it was a passion, but it really didn't deliver a sense of meaning and purpose in his life. And eventually, if you do play golf, you know of something called the yips. It is a psychological affliction that only affects golfers. But that is at a point in his game where he literally could not make a 6-inch putt. He would get up and start putting, and everyone in the group would just turn around because the yips are contagious and you don't want to watch that stuff. And it was so frustrating that he just gave up on golf and kind of got a little lost himself there for a while. He thought that's what he was going to do for the next 50 years of his life. And instead, he found it a little bit empty. It was void of the things that he really found value and meaning in. And I think that's what happens to a lot of retirees. As we step into retirement, we think it's going to be this land of leisure and enjoyment, and we're going to play golf, we're going to go fishing, we're going to travel with our family. And yet it's void of those areas where we're able to make the biggest impact, where we bring the most value to other individuals. And for him, he was very good at teaching and teaching me a lot of the things that I'm good at today, but he was in the financial planning world. He was great at setting goals. He was great at planning. He was great at helping people achieve their financial goals. So he set out and decided to start into the financial planning business and actually start working one-on-one with clients, where prior to that, he had sold a business where he had, I would say, over 1,000 advisors underneath him, and he wasn't really working with clients one-on-one. And he wanted to get face-to-face and really develop relationships with people and help them achieve their goals. And that's what he was great at. And by going back to work and no longer needing the money, he was able to help people tenfold because he was there for the right reasons. He was there to share what he had learned, his experiences, his knowledge, his talents with other individuals to help them. And I think every retiree has those things that they've built up throughout their career. And I think that's one of the biggest opportunities that we have as a generation, as a firm, is to help individuals recognize what those talents are. You know, we go through this working life of, say, 30, 40, 50 years of experience, and we're really good at some of those things that we did while we're working. It may feel like we no longer want to work. And that might be true that you no longer want to work, but there are certain elements of everyone's career that they actually truly enjoy. And those are usually the areas that Dan Sullivan, a strategic coach, one of my coaches, would say is your unique ability. We uncover those unique abilities, those things that you're really amazing at that you can get lost in doing for hours upon hours. Those are your areas of biggest impact. And once you reach that level of financial freedom where you're no longer needing the money, you can pull those elements out of your career. You can pull those unique abilities into your future. And now you can focus all of your time and attention into those areas where you make the biggest impact and ultimately deliver the most meaning and purpose to your life as a result of delivering that into other people's lives.
Appreciate that. And Dan Sullivan, the Dan Sullivan question is one of my favorite to use in coaching. Really, what would you envision your life to be like 3 years out, 5 years out, et cetera, variation on that. So it's a great coach to have. as you were talking, it made me realize, because we're recording this just as we're beginning to become extremely hopeful that the pandemic is waning and we're getting back to things like barbecues, parties, social events, etc. And we often encounter the question, so what do you do? But you rarely get the question, so what's your purpose? You mentioned before that your purpose has evolved. How would you describe your purpose today?
Yeah, it's definitely evolved over time. And you had asked, you know, a little bit about my background. And many times the question, and this is along these lines, is, you know, why do you do what you do? And I hear a lot of individuals that will answer that question as of where they stand today. But that's not always why we did what we did. Over time, that really evolves. And I think every single person that ever went into a career path, whether it was delivering financial advice, whether it was podcasting, whether it was doing, you know, digital art, it doesn't matter what it is. The reason you started to go down that path and get a job was because you needed the money, right? We needed the money. And the thing about needing the money is initially we need the money, but it becomes this scorecard, and we can very easily get trapped on this wheel of more, 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 more money, more income, more things. And we can get lost in that. And for myself, I was always really good at setting goals and putting together a plan to achieve those goals. I was one of those weird kids that in elementary school, I had my goals list stuck to my mirror. And every morning I'd get up, I'd look at those goals, and I would check the boxes. I got really good at checking those boxes. Now, early on, obviously, that was getting a wakeboard or buying my first car. It evolved into getting an apartment, getting a home, and ultimately achieving, you know, financial freedom. And we need to set a number that says, hey, this is financial freedom. This is how much enough really is. And I achieved that very early in my life. And at the time that I achieved that, we had our second son being born. And our second son was born with a congenital defect known as CDH, congenital diaphragmatic hernia. He had a hole in his diaphragm, essentially. And he had a very low chance of survival if we didn't relocate. So we ended up relocating to Cincinnati. And we lived in Cincinnati for 6 months. During this period of time, I had achieved, you know, my financial goals. And at the time, I was struggling with, what do I do? Do I keep working? Why do I keep working? If I don't need the money, why would I continue to work? Maybe I need to refocus my energy in other areas of my life. Because at that time, I had looked back throughout my life, and almost all of my goals had been completely void of those things that were most important to me, the things that I valued the most in life. It was all about money and things. There weren't specific goals around being an intentional husband, being an intentional father, giving and serving others, teaching. It was void of those things. And I said, well, maybe I should just refocus all of my energy into those children that I have, into our family, into my physical fitness, my spirituality. And that's what I did during the 6 months that we were living in Cincinnati. And it only took a couple of months before I felt maybe disillusioned is the word, but I wasn't happy. I knew I wasn't happy. I wouldn't say I was depressed, but I wasn't in a good place. In examining those goals and examining what I had achieved and what I was great at, I wasn't utilizing the talents that were delivered to me, that were bestowed upon me by my Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I was delivered certain talents. We all were delivered certain talents. And for me, it was giving, serving others, teaching, setting goals, and helping them achieve those things. It was helping people. It was as simple as that, helping people. And it was helping people in the ways that I was best capable of doing with the blessings that I had, with the gifts that I had. And I wasn't utilizing those things during that period of time. And I said, if I just quit what I'm doing today, then I'm really throwing away all those gifts that were delivered to me. Instead, I need to refocus my energy and say, hey, how do I best leverage those gifts? Now that I've achieved financial freedom, what can I do to most help people? Where can I make the biggest impact? And it wasn't an early retirement. It wasn't in simply being an intentional family man. It wasn't in volunteering in charities. It wasn't in taking care of my physical fitness or spending time in the church. Now, those are all great things that I truly value, but that's not the area that I was able to make the biggest impact. And what I found in shifting that purpose from just achieving financial freedom, just having enough money so that I never had to work again, and looking where I could make the biggest impact, it allowed me to let go of a lot of those things that were bogging me down, that made me want to quit, that made me want to retire. Now, as I'm working, I am focusing in those areas that I love to do day in and day out. I don't work as much as I used to. I'm much more intentional with my family. I'm more intentional as a husband and as a father. And I spend more time in the things that I enjoy doing outside of work, but I'm able to make an even bigger impact in the lives of others, in the lives of our team, in the lives of our clients, in the lives of our community, because I continued to work. But I continued to work in the areas that I could make the biggest impact. Does that make sense, Joe?
Absolutely. And thanks for sharing all that. It reminds me of your financial planning approach, which I've taken a look at. And it stands out to me because you don't start with the money. You start with why. Tell us about your approach and how starting with purpose helps your clients.
Yeah. Well, I think first and foremost, you asked me what my purpose is. And I think my purpose is the same as everyone else's. I think we all have the same purpose, and that core purpose is to help people. It doesn't matter what kind of business you're in, what you're doing in your career, or what you're doing in your life. You know, all of us have the same purpose to help people and elevate the lives of others around us. And we have to recognize that that's the case. If we simply just help someone step into retirement, we can do them a massive disservice. I've seen entirely too many families step into retirement thinking that this is going to be this glory land of relaxation and leisure and spending time in our hobbies, only to very quickly become disillusioned, oftentimes depressed, and even at times turning to substances in order to overcome that lack of purpose and meaning in our life. I want the families that come in to work with us. I don't want them to come in for a financial plan. Our team knows that I want people to come to us for a different type of product. I don't want them to come thinking they're going to walk out with some financial plan. I want them to walk into our doors feeling that they're coming in here in order to elevate the impact they're making in their lives through financial freedom, but mostly through clarity, through gaining greater clarity about what they want out of their lives, what they value, what they vision for their future. And then we can architect the plan around that. And if we don't do that, not only can we do a disservice by getting someone in the wrong place, but in today's world, you mentioned the world that we're in today. Well, the world isn't the way it used to be. And I know that may sound like something you've heard over and over again, this time is different. But in many ways, it is different. It's much different than it was for your parents. It's different than it was for my grandparents, financially speaking, but also demographically. You know, we're living much longer lives, for one, quite obviously. But from a financial perspective, we're in one of the lowest interest rate environments in history. We are in one of the most expensive equity markets in history. And if we take into consideration all of those inefficiencies, we can't just take our life savings and throw it in a CD like maybe your parents did and get 6-7% a year and cover all of our needs. Now we have to be much more precise about how we're allocating our dollars based on the specific purpose of that money. And if we start with the purpose we have for our lives, that'll guide the specific allocations we're going to have across those different purposes we're going to have for our money. We have dollars that will be set aside for liquidity, for income needs, for long-term growth, for our legacy, for healthcare, for tax planning. And there's different tools that are available today that will most efficiently help you accomplish all of those goals.
A lot of what you just mentioned are very quantitative, tangible, linear types of things. When you get to purpose, that's obviously not the case. How do you find your clients clarify their purpose and their meaning and when they think about retirement?
Well, it's not easy. There is no shortcut that we're going to be able to find to get us to our purpose. It's not something that happens overnight. It's hard work. We have to put in some effort. And the families that come in and work with us, they're not ones that are just going to fill out a questionnaire, pop in for a half an hour, and walk out with this financial plan. We need them to be invested in this. We need them to be emotionally invested in creating this plan. And first and foremost, that starts with, as you mentioned, clarifying their purpose. And that has to be done in stages. I think we have stage one, which is introductory. We need to be introduced to this concept of purpose, because many times we've never been asked what our purpose is. Where do you find meaning in life? And that can be a very daunting task. It can be a daunting question. The word purpose, a capital P, you know, we need to take that back a little bit and make it less intimidating. That first starts with doing some education, attending one of our purpose webinars, attending one of our sessions, but before that, picking up Job Optional and reading through it and understanding some of the pitfalls that we've seen other families go through in not identifying what that purpose is prior to retirement, and then sitting down and having a very open and honest conversation. And one of the tools that we like to use, especially for those that are maybe struggling with this, of course, there are those individuals that'll come in. They have their values listed out. They have their mission for their family listed out. They have their vision for retirement concrete. However, many are still struggling with that even after they go through that preliminary education. And one of the conversations that we like to have is around a tool that we call DOS. And this is a tool that we also picked up through Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan. That is dangers, opportunities, and strengths. And it may seem like a simple tool, and it is. However, it's one that offers a tremendous amount of clarity around what we want in our life and our finances. And that first piece, dangers. You know, what are the fears that you have today? What are the concerns that you have today? What are the things that are keeping you up at night? And that can have to do with the hard side of retirement. It could be the softer side of retirement as well. And we list out all of those dangers. And after listing out those dangers, we're going to move on to opportunities and say, all right, well, what are the opportunities that you have today? You know, maybe one of the dangers you feel you have is not spending with confidence in retirement and continuing to pinch your pennies in retirement. One of the opportunities that you might have is to eliminate that worry, is to have a source of guaranteed income, to know that you'll always have enough income to last the rest of your life. You have enough assets to accomplish that. That leads us into strengths. So we get to strengths. And when we get into strengths, it's, hey, what are your strengths? Well, you might have a strength in delegation. Maybe you have a strength in the amount of wealth that you've accumulated. Maybe you have a strength in your ability to really think deeply about your future. And we're able to work ourselves through that process from dangers to opportunities to strengths to create clarity. And if we don't have clarity, that's going to lead us to overwhelm. It's going to lead us to paralysis by analysis. It's going to lead us to procrastination and inaction. And I think that's one of the biggest risks for retirees is inaction. This is why we want to take our time through this process so that we gain enough clarity to ultimately be able to take action and live a bigger life.
Well said. So you mentioned before there is a lot of bad things that can come from having a lack of purpose. What are some of the traps that you see that people should anticipate and avoid in planning for retirement?
I think that first one is not clarifying purpose. I don't know that there's a bigger trap when it comes to retirement than not identifying what that purpose is. But it really is being overwhelmed. It's being overwhelmed with the amount of information that's out there. And that can be simplified by simply following a process. Many advisors out there today, they have financial planning process, but that wasn't the way it always was. You know, if we're not following a process, then we are going to be overwhelmed. We're probably going to not take action and not get ultimately to where we want to be. I know when I was a kid, traveling around with my dad to see families in their homes, he would pick me up after school. We might go run out on a couple of appointments. And I would get to see what he did when he sat down with a family and put together a financial plan. And he didn't have a process. He had a yellow pad of paper, right? He would take down their information, ask a lot of questions, and pretty quickly build a plan. But there wasn't a process that was followed. And I felt like that was something that was really missing from what I saw him do, along with so many other financial advisors that I have worked alongside over the years, peers that I know. They didn't have a process that they followed. And it doesn't matter which financial advisor you're going to choose. If they have a process, I think that's the most important thing that you want to find out. Are they just going in and riding by the seat of their pants and just telling you what you want to hear? Or do they have a process that's making sure that you're checking every single box you need to check in order to make sure you have the confidence to step into retirement and no longer worry about what's next? If you're still worried about rising taxes, if you're worried about inflation, if you're worried about running out of money in retirement or major healthcare emergencies, well, then that means you didn't follow a process. You didn't get all your boxes checked. So to answer your question quite directly, I think one of the biggest missteps a retiree can make or a future retiree can make is not following a financial planning process that ensures all of their bases are covered.
So I really appreciated the opportunity to read your book, Job Optional. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, by the way. And it leads to the question, what's it like to live a job optional lifestyle?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty amazing what happens in someone's life when they're finally able to get off the treadmill of more, 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 and throw that scorecard away, that financial scorecard away. I have had families who have stepped into retirement. One in particular stands out in this moment. This was a gentleman that built a business from nothing. It is a global business, and it's one of the largest synthetic wood manufacturers in the world of furniture. And when we first met, he didn't know if he had enough. He was still trying to grow this business bigger and bigger and bigger so that someday he would have enough so that he could retire. And we were able to put together a plan that helped him have the foundation of financial independence that would allow him to quit at any time over a matter of months into the future. And we crafted this plan. We sat down. He realized he had enough, and he stopped worrying about saving additional money. He stopped worrying about where the business was spending their capital. He stopped worrying about net profits so much. He stopped worrying about all the minutiae that happens in the business and started focusing on the areas that he could make the biggest impact and really enjoying his work. He loved what he did. He was going to retire at that point, but all of a sudden he found, boy, I actually really love what I can do, what I do here. I love it so much that I could do this the rest of my life. And in doing so, the business, since we first put that plan together, has grown to a multi-billion-dollar business. You know, he is now on track to sell this business for in the billions in the coming years. I think it's truly because it wasn't about the money anymore. If we are no longer worried about the money and all we want to do is help people and make a bigger impact in other people's lives, we end up seeing we often end up getting more money, which is kind of the ironic part. Now, all of a sudden, we have more wealth because we're not focusing on getting more wealth. We're just focusing on helping people and leveraging the talents that we have in order to do so. And that's what I see many times with these individuals that are taking the job optional approach. They're not taking a traditional retirement approach. They're just discovering, hey, I don't have to have this job anymore. It's optional at this time. And more often than not, that leads to, I'm going to continue to work. And I am actually going to end up making a bigger impact and creating even more wealth in the future.
And it sounds like one of the catalysts is changing that scorecard, moving it from the financial scorecard to these other aspects you're talking about.
Yeah, places of impact, places of passion and purpose.
It really changes the lens through which you look at work, redefines it. So you mentioned your dad's old school approach with the yellow pad, and that's not going to cut it today. And you mentioned how important it is for financial advisors to have a clear process. What are some of the other things that you'd highlight for people who are considering hiring a financial advisor? What should they look for? What questions should they ask? What's most important?
Well, I'll say this. I have a lot of great friends that are in this business of financial planning, and I refer people to my friends all the time that I believe would be a great fit. And you know, they all get compensated differently. They have different levels of education and experience. I think the first and most important thing that you don't often get when you start this Google search of how to find the right financial advisor, the best financial advisor, is that you omit the relationship piece, or the relationship piece is omitted from the search results, where I think that's the most important thing. When you walk in and meet with a financial advisor, you need to look at that like you're getting financially married. That means that you take your time. You don't just jump in and marry the first woman you see on your first date, typically. You typically have a few dates. You get to know them very well, and you determine if this is someone you're going to want to wake up next to every morning for the rest of your life. And that may sound like I'm taking it too far, but you don't want to be left searching for a financial advisor when you're 85, 90 years old. You don't want to be in a position where every 3 months you wake up and you go, ugh, I've got to go see my financial advisor again. Ugh, I just don't want to go see that guy or that gal. I think the relationship is the most important part. You need to find someone that you can really enjoy spending time with, that you can create a long-term relationship with, and someone that's going to be there forever. I think that's the most important thing, personally. Now, beyond that, I really place a high value on independence, especially in the world that we're living in today. I want someone that has all of the tools at their disposal. I want to make sure they have every tool that they can structure to most efficiently help me accomplish my plan. If I'm only working with someone that only has mutual funds or stocks, bonds, and ETFs, then all I'm getting is market management. I'm working with an accumulation specialist. You know, if I want someone that's going to help me do risk management and put together a real financial plan, I might need someone that has access to life insurance products, annuities, long-term care, Medicare solutions. Now, I want to make sure they have all the tools at their disposal. And if they're working for a large brokerage house, then they're going to be told what to sell and what products and tools that they can use by the board of directors that's layers and layers ahead of them. And they lose a lot of the nimbleness that comes from being independent, smaller firm. Yeah, being an independent, smaller firm in a fast-moving world is an incredible advantage. I think this is why you're seeing this massive shift to the independent channel. We have a larger shift to registered investment advisors and away from the broker world than at any other time throughout history. And I think that's because advisors recognize that there's a lot of tools they don't have access to, and tools that are being developed very rapidly that their clients need access to. And they can't do that if they have to undergo layers of bureaucracy. I'll say a couple other items. One is that this industry is the barriers to this industry are entirely too low, disgustingly low, if you ask me. You could step out of high school, sit down for your exam after a week, and now you've got a securities license or maybe an insurance license after a week or two of studying and taking a test. And now you can go out and you can advise people on their life savings. You can advise people on their life savings. You wouldn't go to a doctor that didn't have DR in front of his name and have him prepare to do open heart surgery. Retirement is full of serious ailments, serious risks that need addressed by someone that has the experience and education. And those things come through certain designations as well as experience. Certified financial practitioner is one of the most important designations or most recognized designations out there in the financial industry today. That's one that I would look for. But I would also do your research like you would before you bought a car. You know, has this car been in an accident? Has it been flooded before? Is there a problem? Is it a lemon? You know, you can do that with financial advisors. You can go to BrokerCheck and search for a financial advisor to see how long they've been in the industry. Do they just have gray hair, or have they actually had a significant level of experience and education in order to be advising you on your life savings? Have they ever had a bankruptcy in the past? Do they have any formal complaints against them? You know, do your research today. The internet In this digital age, you can find out anything about anybody. You don't just sit down with the first financial advisor you meet because your neighbor said he was a great guy and start working with him. You have an opportunity to make sure you find a great advisor today that's based on a great relationship, but you can go well beyond that.
I appreciate what you said about the relationship, because I'm often amazed how many people describe their relationship with their financial advisor as okay, but not great. One thing that stood out to me in your book is you have a little section on breaking up is hard to do with a financial advisor. Any advice for people who might have an okay, but not great advisor and think they might want to do better, but feel a little awkward and uncomfortable about making a switch?
You have to recognize this is a business decision. This is your life savings. And there's great advisors out there that may have served you up until this point in your life as you transition into retirement. I had a client the other day that said he went in and talked to his financial advisor about retiring. And his advisor said, I'm really an accumulation specialist. That's what I help people do, but I can help you retire. And he said, well, that didn't really feel right to me. They've been working together for decades and they have a great relationship. They're good friends. However, this is someone that doesn't have the experience or knowledge in retirement planning to help with things like Social Security decisions and Medicare decisions and tax planning and retirement, income planning and retirement. It's just a completely different game. And he recognized it was a business decision. And most advisors, I think, understand that. We all know we have our own areas of specialty. You know, if I have a 35-year-old come in to visit with us in our office that says they need to start saving for retirement, or maybe they've saved quite a bit for retirement and they just want to accumulate those dollars and retire 30 years from now, we know we're not the right fit, but we'll refer them to someone that does specialize in long-term growth, accumulation, appreciation. We specialize in retirement planning. We specialize in that decumulation phase of your life. And those are two very different things. And I think you'll find that advisors will be typically very understanding of that. And you can just look at this simply, again, as a business decision. This is your life savings. So you have to make the best decision for yourself and your family.
One last question, if I could, Casey. What's a favorite client story you have about one of your clients and their purpose in retirement?
Well, I already told one of my favorite stories with the individual that's now turning his business into a multi-billion-dollar business. So getting beyond that one is going to be a bit of a challenge. But I do have one retiree that comes to mind that was an engineer, a Six Sigma engineer, when we first met, and he stepped away as a Six Sigma engineer and was going to go into consulting as an engineer. So we put together a retirement plan. We helped him set up his consulting business, and he did so much work and research around retirement. He found such a passion around retirement and the technical analysis of all of these different elements that go into financial planning. That he is not only now helping people coach them through some of their financial decisions in retirement, but he's also working on his first book right now, which is directed towards the softer side of retirement, but maximizing your life in retirement, where he's teaching people about how to maintain their energy levels, health and fitness and purpose and meaning. And we've been kind of going back and forth and working on this book together, and I can see his eyes just light up. He's very passionate about this new work that he's doing and helping people engineer their retirement future. And at the same time that he's doing this, he's getting to spend an amazing amount of quality time with his young grandchildren that he just loves and adores. He's bought a second home near them, so he's snowbirding. He's, you know, writing books. He's impacting other people's lives in a magnificent way.
Great stories, both of them. Appreciate it. Casey Weed, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Great conversation. A lot of insights that people can benefit from. Appreciate all you're doing with emphasizing for people how important purpose is.
Thanks for having me on, Joe. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again. We talk a lot about purpose on our podcast. But it's unusual and refreshing to hear a financial advisor not only talk about purpose,
but explain how his process begins with it. I can assure you that's highly unusual. And boy, it makes a heck of a lot of sense to me. So that's the key takeaway from today's discussion. Why not start with looking at your why? Begin your process and your planning right there. It'll give you the direction to answer a lot of the other questions and issues that arise in planning for retirement, but it's a great place to be in. And as Casey mentioned, it's not something that you do in a half hour or get from an online questionnaire, or as I always like to say, you're not going to find your purpose in a book, but it's something you have to work at, something you have to earn, and it's something that I think takes some time to really discover. In my work with clients, I find that they sometimes get hung up and stuck on the overwhelming nature of trying to discover a single new purpose in retirement. And what I have found works better is looking at a multi-purpose retirement, a series of smaller experiments that may lead to that single purpose down the road, but it gives you a tangible place to grab onto and begin. So find what works for you, but certainly begin with trying to discover your why. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our mission is to help people balance their preparation for retirement by looking at how they're going to invest their time, which when you think about it, is really the most valuable asset of all. Retiring can seem like an end, but when you think of it, it's really just the beginning of your next chapters, and you can actually make them the best ones of all. But where do you start? Our coaching process with a certified Designing Your Life coach, yours truly, the other Casey, helps you build a new life on your own terms, helps you build a roadmap to your future, one that's driven by what matters most to you. So start here and design your next life.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.